chance to hide this weary soul. This bag of bones. And I tried with all my might, and I just can't win the fight. I'm slowly drifting, a vagabond. And just when I ran out of road, I met a man I didn't know. Got no choice but to believe. My doubts are burning like ashes in the wind. So long to my old friends. Burden and bitterness, and just keep it moving.
No, they welcome here.
From now till I walk the streets of gold, I'll sing of how you saved my soul. This wayward son has found his way back home. He picked me up, he turned me around, he placed my feet on solid ground. I thank the Master, I thank the Savior, because he healed my heart. He changed my name, forever free. I'm not the same. I thank the Master, I thank the Savior, I thank God.
I've lost another one, I am free. I am free. I am free. Hell lost another one. I am free. I am free. I am free. Hell lost another one. I am free. I am free. I am free. Hell lost another one. I am free. I am free. He picked me up. He turned me around. My feet on solid ground. I thank the Master, I thank the Savior, because he healed my heart, he changed my name, forever free. I'm not the same. I thank the Master, I thank the Savior, I thank God.
Get up, get up, get up, get up out of that grave. Get up, get up, get up, get up out of that grave. Get up, get up, get up, get up out of that grave. Get up, get up, get up, get up out of that grave. Get up, get up, get up, get up out of that grave. Get up, get up, get up, get up out of that grave.
Lift me up. He turned me around. He placed my feet on solid ground. I thank the Master. I thank the Savior, because he healed my heart.
Good morning, church. We are glad to have all of you here. Thank you for coming for this grand celebration of our 170th anniversary as a church ministering to our community. We thank you for being here to be part of this time, and we're excited to get to be part of this time. If this is your first time with us, welcome. We hope that you will come back and be with us again. There's a connect card in the pew rack right in front of you. We would invite you to fill that out and let us know that you have been here. If you have prayer concerns, put them on that same card. For those of you who are joining us via live stream, welcome to you as well. We are glad that you have chosen to be with us this morning, and we hope that you find blessing through this service as well. If you have prayer concerns, write to us on the address you'll see on your screen and let us know about them, and we'll be happy to try to respond to those. If you have other things you want to know, or if you'd like to join our church, let us know, and we will be happy to try to respond to that. But we're glad you are all here, and we are glad to be able to celebrate what it means to be the people of God as we come here today. I want to welcome Dave Washburn. Dave is the treasurer and assistant executive director of the Baptist General Association of Virginia, and happens to be one of my best friends in the world, and I'm delighted to be able to have him here to bring us our message today on this very special day. Thanks, Dave, and thanks for his wife, Paula, for being with us today as we gather. There's a lot that's going to be happening in this service. You're going to be hearing voices from our past and the greetings that they bring to us, and we hope that you will be finding the presence of the Lord in everything that happens, and that you will know that you have been in that presence by the time we leave.
Let's pray together, shall we? Oh God, as we have gathered in this place, as your people, as brothers and sisters in Christ, we are so thankful for this special day in the life of our church as we celebrate 170 years of mission and ministry. And we're so grateful for the saints, for the cloud of witnesses that have gone before us, and we thank you for them, and we honor them today for their years of faithfulness to you and to your church. And we are confident that if these walls could talk, they would give testimony to times of worship celebrated, to fellowship enjoyed, to professions of faith, to marriage vows taken, sorrow and joys expressed, challenges faced, and important and life-changing commitments made. And you have been a constant presence through it all, even as you are today, as we pray together, as we sing together, as we hear your word spoken in spirit and in truth, and as we later share table fellowship with one another. This is a sacred space, O God, a holy place, and we ask that your Spirit would move in and among us and have his way with us. And may our worship be an expression of our love and devotion for you. May all that we say and do honor and glorify you. And when we leave this place, may we be able to say, surely the Lord was in this place, and be committed to anew to following you and to being the church of Jesus Christ you've called us to be. Hear our prayer, O God, for we lift it up in the good name of Jesus. Amen.
See you. Most of you know Don McKinney, but some of you are new to us, and so I wanted to take just a minute to recognize Don. Don was our associate pastor here for 13 years. He's been connected to this church since the 1950s. He married someone who grew up in this church, Lida McKinney, and they have a very long history here. Don was the best pastoral care minister I've ever seen work. Did a great job taking care of our people, did a great job taking care of our senior adults, and was one of my favorite people to work with that I ever worked with in my life. I thank you for being here, and we're excited to have you lead our morning prayer.
Thank you, Dr. Dears. As we go to the Lord in prayer, our pastor has asked us to, of course, remember 9/11. We remember four coordinated suicide terrorist attacks against the United States. 2,977 people were killed, and more than 25,000 others were injured. And on that day, a number of our first responders were killed. 343 firefighters, 60 police officers, and 10 paramedics. So we want to have a moment of silent prayer together as we remember these. Amen, and thank you. What I have chosen to share with you today as our prayer is a prayer that's very important in the life of this church. It was first used in 1953. When this beautiful sanctuary was dedicated. And then again in 1976, this same prayer was used when the church was remodeled and enlarged. Those of you who are sitting under the balcony, that used to be our old fellowship hall. And then in 1976, the sanctuary was enlarged and that became part of the sanctuary. And on both of those occasions, a prayer was used to dedicate the sanctuary and the enlargement of the sanctuary. And as we go to the Lord in prayer, I thought it'd be appropriate on this day of celebration to share with you again that wonderful, beautiful prayer of dedication. Let us pray. To the eternal God, our Father, maker of heaven and earth, author and giver of life, who in the person of Jesus Christ, his Son, has made known to us the patience and power of his redeeming love, and who by his gracious Spirit is ever seeking to bring light into our darkness, we dedicate this church to you, O Lord. To the preaching of the gospel of Christ, and to our belief that the principles of his gospel will bring light, healing, and peace to mankind, we dedicate this church to you, O Lord. For the training of youth and the building of character, for the giving of hope and courage to all human hearts, and for the teaching of morality, justice, and righteousness, we dedicate this church to you, O Lord. For comfort to those who mourn, for strength to those who are tempted, for help in right living, for the welfare of the home, for the guidance of youth, for the salvation of all people, we dedicate this church to you, O Lord. For the furtherance of the worldwide program of Jesus, for the encouragement of missionary endeavor at home and abroad, for Christian evangelism and education, for the promotion of social righteousness and the building of human brotherhood, We dedicate this church to you, O Lord, for the promotion of that Christian unity which sees beneath all formal differences a bond of fellowship and endeavors to keep the unity of the Spirit in the bond of peace. We dedicate this church to you, O Lord. In grateful remembrance of all those who have gone before us in the faith of our fathers, without whose sacrifice and piety we could not have built, and with glad thoughts of those who shall come after us to enjoy the benefit of this which we have done, we dedicate this church to you, O Lord. That this may be for all people a house of prayer, that men may be conscious that God is in this place, that it may be to them none other than the house of God and the gate of heaven. We dedicate this church to you, O Lord. And now may the God of peace, who brought again from the dead our Lord Jesus, the great shepherd of the sheep, through the blood of the everlasting covenant, make us perfect in every good work to do his will, working in us that which is well-pleasing in his sight, through Jesus Christ, to whom be glory forever and ever, who taught us to pray together, our Father who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done, on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread. Forgive us our trespasses, as we forgive those who trespass against us. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom, the power, and the glory, forever and ever. Amen. Thank you.
Thank you, Don. Go ahead. This time we want to recognize Dr. Ray Allen. Dr. Allen was pastor of this church for 21 years. He is our only previous minister who is still living. He could not be with us here today, suffered a pretty massive stroke not long ago, and so he and his family wanted to remember Ray and his wife Ann. He was part of the losing my mic again. Yeah.
We're going to send this microphone to heaven very soon. So, Ray led in the renovating of this facility. The educational building that you see here was built during his time. A retreat center at Clater Lake, what came to being during his time here. He led in beginning our mission to India that we are still involved in until this day. He led in creating the mission that we had for many years to Liberia. There are so many things that we look back on and give thanks for because of Ray's leadership and Ray's work here. And so I did not want this day to go by without recognizing Ray and thanking him for all that he did to make this church what it is today and for offering his very best to the work of Jesus Christ. We are thankful for him and for Ann, and we ask that all of you would remember them in prayer in the days that are ahead. These are not their best days, but they are still days that they are giving their lives as best they can in service to Jesus. And so remember them, and let's give thanks for him today.
Thank you. Is this the one that's going to heaven, or is it the one that?
No, that one. That one's going to heaven.
Okay. First, allow me to express my appreciation for the invitation to be with you this morning. It's always a privilege and a pleasure to share Sunday mornings with partners in ministry, with BGAV churches, but it's even more special and significant when it comes at the invitation of good friends like Tommy and Susan, and to be able to spend time with them. But also just the significance of this occasion. I mean, 170 years of mission and ministry, you know, that is something to be celebrated. I mean, this is a well done, good and faithful servants kind of moment. And we can't let that pass. You don't just gloss over that. So congratulations and well done on 170 years of ministry. Because the truth is, today, it is a challenge to be church. It is a challenge to continue to embrace the mission and ministry that is unfolding in front of you. Because there can be this tendency to want to resurrect the past and to live in the past. Now, it's important for us as Virginians, as Virginia Baptists, to recognize history. It's part of who we are. Recognizing the past and celebrating the past is important because for so many reasons, where we have been is informative of where we are and where we're going. Now, I'm a native of North Carolina, grew up in the eastern part of the state, and Virginia has been my adopted second home for the last 25 to 30 years. And we used to say in eastern North Carolina, it's important to know from whence you came. You know, where are you from? And that's part of the story here. Understanding from whence you came and from where you are from, so that it can inform and pave the way for where you are going, embracing the future that lies in front of you. So celebrating 170 years as Blacksburg Baptist Church, it's not a passive activity. Proclaiming yourselves as Blacksburg Baptist Church involves commitment in movement, in perseverance, and energy. Proclaiming yourselves as Blacksburg Baptist Church is so much more than 550 North Main Street. Proclaiming yourselves as Blacksburg Baptist Church is about worship and discipleship and missional movement. Proclaiming yourselves as Blacksburg Baptist Church means you're coming alongside all of the other local expressions of church to advance the kingdom of God. And the kingdom of God is better off because of the 170 years of ministry at Blacksburg Baptist Church. So this morning, let's take a few moments to consider what it means to be church, and even ask the question, why church? Why do we go to the trouble of being church? As Christians, do we need the church? I mean, couldn't we just kind of have our own private, personal, devotional study time? Why go to all that is required of being church? And while we're asking questions, why does God need the church? I mean, couldn't God accomplish everything and anything that God wanted to accomplish without the church? So why church? Why are we celebrating? Why are we celebrating the past and anticipating the future? Why? Church. I believe the fundamental answer to that question is presence. God has chosen to work in such a way that it is about presence. Presence is the way God works, such that God needs a people to be present with, so that they can create the space where the presence of God can be made known to the world. God accomplishes God's work through relationships, to and through relationships. So God needs a social network. And that social network is the church. And the people that God can be in relationship with and be present with, so that the world may know and experience God's presence. You know, back in the late 1990s and early 2000, Blacksburg Baptist Church made some strategic decisions that they would not be bound by the traditional Sunday and Wednesdays that tended to dominate the calendar of good Baptist folk, and made the decision that we're going to be a seven-day-a-week church. And this Bible study started throughout the week. Ministry to mothers of preschoolers began. Mornings out for parents began. And you developed social networks in which the presence of God could interact with folk in such a way that the presence of God could be made known to the world. Presence is how God works. And God needs people that God can be present with, so that God's presence can be made known to the world. Let's go all the way back to the beginning, Genesis. You know, God creates humankind in His image, and Adam and Eve are in the garden. And they are in the garden so that they can be in God's presence. And you may remember the story that there comes that day where God is coming through the garden and He realizes Adam and Eve have ruined things. They have messed things up. And so because of that sin that's introduced to the world, what happens? They have to leave God's presence in the garden. Now God clothes them, actually blesses them as they go, but they have to go away from God's presence. And then creation gets all sideways. Things run amok, and God decides He's got to start over. So there's this flood. But God has this remnant family, Noah, to be present with. And then after all that's over, God decides that He needs to be present with a chosen people. So He calls Abraham to then become the father of a great nation, Israel, so that they can experience the presence of God. And all throughout the Old Testament narrative, there's story after story, ups and downs of being in the presence of God and being outside of the presence of God. And then there's that one occasion when the people are outside of the presence of God because they've been enslaved in Egypt. Remember, God sends Moses to bring them out so that God can travel with them through the wilderness, being present together to the promised land. And then all throughout that Old Testament narrative, there are ebbs and flows of the people building other idols, moving away from the presence of God, God reclaiming them back into His presence. Because God is forever calling his people back into his presence. And those pesky Old Testament prophets kept giving us glimpses of the ultimate presence of God. One of which is in the book of Isaiah. This is Isaiah chapter 11, verses 1 and 2. A shoot shall come out from the stump of Jesse, and a branch shall grow out of his roots. The Spirit of the Lord shall rest upon him. Now, you know, the stump of Jesse was David, King David, and that led to the genealogical family tree that ultimately led to the birth of Jesus. And we read it again in the book of Matthew. It says Matthew chapter 1, verses 22 and 23, in which he is actually quoting Isaiah chapter 7. And Matthew writes this: "All this took place to fulfill what had been spoken by the Lord through the prophet. Look, the virgin shall conceive and bear a son, and they shall name him Emmanuel," which means God is with us. Presence is how God works in the world. And he needs a people to be present with so that his presence can be made known to all of the world. Now, I'm reminded of conversation I had with our youngest son, Zachary. He's 23 now. That conversation, this took place. He was 7 or 8 years old. I was pastor at First Baptist Waynesboro, and he and I were running some errands together one day, and as he does so often, he's full of questions, and he just said, "Dad, what are you preaching on this Sunday?" And I was in the midst of a sermon series entitled, "You Can't." And this series was addressing some of the common misperceptions about what it means to be a Christian, about what it means to be a Christ follower, and how for so many it's, you can't do this if you're going to be a Christian. And so it covered the spectrum. And on that particular Sunday, you know, I said to Zachary, "Well, I'm going to be preaching on, you can't be the church." In his mind, he said, "Well, duh. You don't," and I looked, and he says, "You don't have a door. You can't open yourself up to others." And he's doing the whole, "Here's the church," and all of this. And I thought about that. And I thought, you know, you have no idea what you actually just said. Because isn't that the way God wants it to work? That we would open ourselves up to the presence of God so that God can be present and available to others, to the world. Think about what you're doing at the Adams Mark community. You know, for so long, we have all believed, or many have believed, that if you're going to be church, if you're going to open yourself up to others, it's got to take place here, where we meet and gather. Well, part of what we've learned over the last 15, 20 years is we have to be church where people are, and that's not necessarily here. So you made the decision to become part of the Adams Mark community. And if you think about it, what you've done is you've become a people who have created the space for God to be present so that others can join you and they too can experience the presence of God. Presence is how God works. God needs a people to be present with so that his presence can be experienced and recognized by the rest of the world. One of the things that's been taking place in not only Christianity in the church, but in our country and in our world, is that I believe far too many people have exchanged this theology of the presence of God for the theology of my personal perspective. And because of that, the church has missed out on so many opportunities. I mean, you think about what's taken place in our communities and in our country over the last 5 to 7 years. There has been crises and opportunity. And you know what? The church should be at its best in the midst of crises. That's when it should be the church. But what happened is, in these past several years, too many people have exchanged the theology of God's presence for the theology of my personal perspective. And in doing so, we have missed out. Now I'm not here to pile on, and I'm not here to point fingers. What I'm sharing with you is conversations that I have had with pastors and church leaders over the past several years. And it can all be boiled down to a few things. What I've heard most consistently from pastors and church leaders is, it doesn't matter what decision I make, I am wrong. We meet in person, I'm wrong. We don't meet in person, I'm wrong. We wear masks, I'm wrong. We don't wear masks, I'm wrong. I preach about racism, I'm wrong. I don't preach about racism, I'm wrong. I preach about justice, I'm wrong. I don't preach about justice, I'm wrong. Yes, have any of you ever had a job where every decision you made was wrong? No, those of us in the ministry are lucky enough to have that job. It's exhausting. We're used to disagreeing. What happened to that being okay? But now those disagreements lead to the decision maker being vilified and just hung out there, because we have exchanged the theology of God's presence for the theology of my personal perspective. And the people outside of the church, they have taken notice. You know, if you know the trends around people who profess Christ as Lord and Savior, as those who are connected to a faith community, you know the trajectory of those folk compared to the trajectory of those who aren't claiming that. And those outside the church are looking at the church through all of these crises, through all of these opportunities, and they've always been skeptical, and now they're saying, you know what, they talk about love, but look how they treat each other and what they're saying to one another. That's not love. They talk about forgiveness, but they can't even forgive one another. How are they going to forgive someone like me who's not a believer? Oh, they talk about unity, but they have drawn lines in the sand and separated themselves based on political persuasions and their own personal perspective, like everybody else in the world. They're not unified. We've exchanged the theology of presence for the theology of my personal perspective. And that list of my personal perspective is legion. And in so many ways, we've missed an opportunity to be the church. But all is not lost. It's challenging to be church these days. It's difficult. But let's remember, presence is how God works. God just needs people to be present with, so that God's presence can be made known to the world. You know, it was 15 years ago, I was pastor in Waynesboro, that Virginia Tech was attacked. A gunman killed 32 people, wounded 17 others before turning the gun on himself. And we were but a couple hours away. But there are members of our congregation whose children were here as students. And they felt the helplessness and the terror of what went on. I can only imagine what you felt. One of the first things I did was pick up the phone and call my friend Tommy. And I remember one of the things he said to me was, "It's just awful. It's awful." And your pastor and your staff and you as a faith community, you became a hub of healing and hope in the midst of unspeakable tragedy and grief. You exemplified the theology of presence, because you created the space for God to be present among God's people so that God's presence could be made known to your community and to the world. Blacksburg Baptist Church, that is who you have been. Well done. Presence is how God works. God just needs some people to be present with so that His presence can be made known to the world. Do you know that over the last 25 years, nearly 60 young men and women have come through this faith community and experienced a call to ministry? Now you've seen the videos from a few of these, but 60. And you may hear that number go, 60 in 25 years, that's 2-3 people a year. Folks, that is an outstanding number. 60 people nurtured and called to ministry. Now, I don't know the stats across the Commonwealth, and I can't claim for certainty that that is the best in the Commonwealth, but I can say with certainty it is one of the best. Because presence is how God works. And you have been a people with whom God could be present, so that God's presence could be made known and experienced. And people can feel called and nurtured to ministry. That is who you have been. It is who you are. Well done. You've planted a church. You heard from the pastor. Planting a church is kingdom work, because you are a people with whom God can be present, so that God's presence can be felt and experienced in all of the world. Blacksburg Baptist Church, that is who you are. Well done. Presence is how God works. God needs to be in relationship with people so that His presence may be known and experienced in all of the world. And you have done that. You've done that in your community, Adams Mark community. You have one of the best special needs ministry in the area and across the Commonwealth. You've been and continue to be in countries like India and Indonesia and Singapore and the Czech Republic and Haiti and the Dominican Republic, Southeast Asia. You have sent people on mission, whether it's across the street, across town, or across the world. Presence is how God works. And God just needs people to be present with so that His presence can be experienced across the world. Blacksburg Baptist Church, that is who you have been. It is who you are. Well done. What I find interesting is in these few examples of your history, you know, you've developed young leaders, you've planted new churches and established fresh expressions of church, and you've sent people on mission. Do you know at the BGAV, we'll turn 200 next year, and you've been a vital part of who we are. Do you know at the BGAV, we do three things? Want to guess what those are? We develop young leaders, we plant churches and help develop fresh expressions of church, and we send people on mission. Do you see why we have such a good relationship together? Because we are a people who understand that presence is how God works. And we want to be in relationship with God and create space for God's presence to be made known to the world. That is who you've been. That is who you are. And that is who we will be together. I want to say clearly, and I want you to hear clearly. Because, you know, sometimes when we get to lunch, we have what are called those almost conversations. Because what's happened is you've kind of dozed out on something I've said, and you pick up half of it, and you say, "Can you believe he said?" And it's like, no, that's not what he said. So hear clearly. You need to be proud of who you have been. You need to be proud of who you are. Because the kingdom of God is better off because of Blacksburg Baptist Church. And Blacksburg Baptist Church still has the DNA to recognize that presence is how God works. And God just needs the people to be present with so that God's presence can be shared throughout the world. God is forever calling His people into His presence. And we have the unique opportunity to be the fabric that is woven together to give voice and action to that presence. Thank you for who you are. Continue to be who you are. And don't you dare let the theology of the personal perspective overtake the theology of the presence of God. Amen and amen. Let us pray. God, Jesus Christ brought to us the physical embodiment of your presence, and we have celebrated that presence for as long as we have been a community of faith. And so I just give thanks, first for my friend Tommy, for the gifted staff that have been called to this place, and for the people that are here, physically present with us today, online with us, those that have gone before us, those that have yet to come, who recognize that the theology of your presence is what is going to propel us forward. As we continue to celebrate this day, may the celebration be because of who you have called us to be, and because we get the joy and privilege of being church. Thank you, God, for the life, death, and resurrection of Jesus Christ, in whose name we pray. Amen.
Today, we come here to celebrate exactly what he has outlined for us. Let us commit to continue to be that, and let us commit to be the presence of God wherever we go in the best way that we know how. Let's pray. Lord Jesus, thank you for this day that we have just had. Thank you for the magnificent experience of worship. Thank you for the message that we have heard. Let it sink down deeply into our hearts and let it inspire us to go out and become more. For those who have come here, oh Lord, and have experienced you today, and maybe for the first time in their lives, they feel moved to give their lives to you. We pray, oh God, that they will have both the courage and the commitment to say, Father, come into my heart and live within me and turn me into the person that you want me to be and help me to be the servant that you would have me be. Lord, give them the courage to come and speak to us and become a candidate for baptism and to be part of the ministry that we are going into the world to do. But most of all, O Lord, fill all of us with your eternal presence, that we might know that whether we are gathered together as the church or whether we are in the community working as church people, that we are yours and you are ours, and in the unity of that love, things change. Help us, O Lord, to be people of change. Now be with us as we go to have fellowship. Bless the food that we are about to eat. Bless the hands that have prepared it. Bless those who have prepared the buildings for us to be together. And help us, O Lord, to continue to enjoy the company of one another. Now may the Lord bless and keep you and make his face to shine upon you and give you peace this day and every day, now and forevermore. Amen. God bless you, everyone. Let's go have fellowship.